right choice at mynorthwest.com. Text as well. Come on into the state grouping text line of 989973. That'll be a big, big, big part of the show. Teeny Penny Lady in the wooden wagon will be here in about an hour from now. She chooses the letter of the day with the help of Jacob. She taps on the glass and lets him know. All right, Sean, I'm gonna bounce. I'm gonna do a little thing in midair, kind of fun thing, and then I'm going in the water diving. And it is bouncing, bouncing, bouncing.
A lot of preliminary.
Any time to do? Hardly any time to do my funny thing. I had a funny thing I was going to do. All right, I didn't watch it, nor would I watch it if it was happening right in front of me. Even if Oprah Winfrey were here in the cabin, Tom, I remember doing a story one time for Evening Magazine, and we had a consultant came in from L.A. and the guy's like, "Look, if ever you're in trouble and you need ratings, just do something on the royal family." And we're like, mm-hmm. "Really?" And the guy explained that every time People Magazine, Time Magazine, whatever it is, if you want to try to get move your sales up, this is what people would buy the magazines there at the checkout stand at the grocery store. Just put the royal family on the cover. For some reason, people love anything having to do, even with the passing of Lady Di, still, and then you get all this other drama goes into it. $7 million was paid to, I guess, Oprah got the $7 million, or Oprah's production company got the $7 million, but Oprah got the interview, put it on CBS, and you get a chance to hear from Harry and Meghan about how horrible their life is. Isn't that basically what it was? Was it a 2 hour, how horrible my life is, or was it a 3 hour?
Yes, but it was, okay, so I have an antipathy toward the royal family. I can't stand them. It might come from part of my Irish heritage. I think they've really screwed over the Irish historically, and I'm still resentful. I am not one of these royal worshipers. My wife, unfortunately, is much more than I am. And so I sat down and watched this thing last night with Paige. It's 2 hours, and I watched an entire hour of it. But here's how I can tell you how good it is. For a guy who has no interest, I am planning, after the show, probably tonight, to watch the second hour. This was really a good interview. Now, one might say, well, Tom, if you don't like the royal family, of course you're going to like this interview because, in effect, just expose all the warts of the royal family, how terrible they indeed might be. And that I grant you that might be true. I'm sure I'd be bored if for 2 hours they just sang the praises of the royal family. However, there were a lot of things that rang true. And what happened to me when I was watching this, it just reminded me, and I'm sure was very conscious both on Meghan and Harry's part and on Oprah's part, it reminded me of that famous, sort of revelatory interview that Princess Di did, where you found out all sorts of stuff about how hard her life was and how, you know, tough it was on her mentally and all this. Meghan doesn't have the appeal that Princess Di did at the time when that interview went off, because she hasn't been well known, but she certainly has as many of the slings and arrows coming her way because of her stance toward the royal family, because of her mixed race background, perhaps, that she is a compelling figure. And the fact that Harry would join her at the halfway point is pretty good. That Diana interview was just with Diana. I can't imagine what it would have been like if Charles had been there as well. This is an interesting dynamic to look at the two and to make us look at the royal family at large, because a lot of explosive revelations.
So for those that don't know, you can change the channel and don't care. You're probably somewhere else right now. But they left the royal family, and now what are they going to do for a living? They're living in L.A., or they're moving to L.A., or they're going to move to Canada, or whatever else it is. Here they are just explaining why. There's Meghan explaining that she says that some of the royal family had concerns about the skin color of the child.
Their first child, yes.
Is she black? Is she black?
She's mixed race. Her mother is
black.
Her mother is black, and her father was white.
Okay, fine.
In those months when I was pregnant, all around this same time, so we have in tandem the conversation of he won't be given security, he's not going to be given a title, and also concerns and conversations about how dark his skin might be when he's born.
What?
And
who?
I'll tell you how dark his skin would be. He is as white as a ghost. He has the same skin. We go to the same club, which is the white skin color, almost so white it's blue. He has red hair. Does he not have red hair, Tom?
Yes.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being white, he's a negative 45. So she comes in, and she's going to balance it out to about a 4. And the answer is the kid is going to look like Casper the Friendly
Ghost. Who is having that conversation with you?
Why doesn't she name names at this point, Tom? Is it because she's making this up?
God, what? No. I don't think so, because Harry also refuses to name some names. They do. She does say that it was part of, apparently the royal family, the business side of the royal family, the marketing, the PR side of the royal family, they call them the firm. Sometimes it's the institution. And it's somebody along, you know, those lines. It might be a royal family member, but they did rule out that it wasn't the Queen and it wasn't Philip. So if it's part, yeah, anyway.
There is a conversation. Hold up.
There's several There are several conversations.
There's a conversation with you.
With Harry.
About how dark your baby is going to be.
Potentially, and what that would mean or look like.
Ooh.
Oprah's like, oh, there's the cut. That's
exactly. I'm amazed
that over and over again. Yeah.
That they didn't use that, though, in the promos. I thought Oprah was, that her reaction, what, was a perfect reaction. That was how the audience who's watching this reacts. What? You expect certain things.
Wait. Really? Hold on.
Yes.
Really?
That there were concerns.
This is a relic. This family is a relic going back, what, 1,000 years or something? And it is all about bloodline.
Yeah.
I don't know, 400 years. And it's all about bloodline. And it's all about, you know, who you marry and this and that and this and that.
Yeah.
The UK is all about this status of where you come from. I have a friend of mine. He sent his kid to the University of Edinburgh, some super duper fancy, not even that one, even more exclusive school in Scotland. And it was all about, are you from what line? What line are you? Of course. Yes. What line are you? What bloodline are you? Oh, yeah, they're going to wonder about the color of somebody's skin or whether or not they have syphilis or whether or not they can support that of a humping horse on top of them, Tom.
After they're married, though. She's already a part of the family. If those issues had come up, those issues can come up. What are you doing?
Yes.
And in the 21st century, you're always trying to establish the relevancy of a royal family. And as they pointed out in this interview, 70% of the Commonwealth are probably people of color. This could be the great outreach. It was a bit like how Diana was seen as somebody who was, she was royal, but she was, you know, concerned for more the, you know, the common people or for the non-royals because she was kind of a breaking away from tradition. This would be a perfect entree for them to make this a PR, you know, capitalize on the PR component of this. And the fact that they were concerned. Listen, if you're going to, you announce you're going to have a baby and the first thing comes out is, well, by the way, they're not going to get a title. They're not going to get a royal title. They're not going to get security. And how dark do you think he or she is really going to be? That is disconcerting, to say the least. And that is part of the
way. I was off by I was off by 50 years. They started back in 1060 something.
But they didn't. See, that family did.
It's all about race. It's all about like bloodline and stuff. And Oprah's like,
I know, but
oh,
not
I can't believe
anymore.
They talked about that. Oh. And then by the way, you don't want to be able to have somebody in that family to then become part of the commoners. The commoners know they're common. They don't want somebody common. They want royal stuff to keep it all royal. I mean,
well, first off, no, that's
what
was
that conversation?
Completely outdated.
That conversation I'm never going to share. But at the time it was awkward. I was a bit shocked.
Can you tell us what the question was?
No, I'm not comfortable sharing that.
Okay.
But that was right at the beginning, right?
Like, what will the baby look like?
Yeah, what will the kids look like?
Yeah, what will the kids look like?
But that was right at the beginning.
By the way, I'll say something else. That is a fairly common discussion that goes on in American families and families around the world. When you have a black guy marries a white woman or a white woman marries a black guy or a Hispanic guy marries, people are like, what color the baby's going to be? That is quite common. Now, whether that is racist or not, I don't know. But let me tell you something. I got friends a white woman married a black guy who's a friend of mine. And that was the big discussion that everyone's like, what do you think? And all I kept saying was, let me tell you something. There is nothing prettier than a mixed race baby and then grows up to be an absolutely gorgeous kid. And I'll give you the name, you know, Matisse Thybulle, his mom, yes. Elizabeth, God rest her soul. His daughter, Chloe, his sister, Chloe, is gorgeous. I mean, gorgeous. Yeah. Tall and beautiful. It's a great mixing of this race thing. So, and this kid is cute, isn't it? The kid that came out. Are they acting like
Meghan Markle herself is a product of mixed race? Yes.
Yeah.
So it just shows you this wasn't. It wasn't a discussion about. Well, I wonder what shade Archie's going to be. It's more like a concern the family had how it projects its royalty.
All right, but apparently she was.
I just didn't want to be alive anymore, and that was a very clear and real and frightening constant thought. I went to the institution and I said that I needed to go somewhere to get help. And I was told that I couldn't, that it wouldn't be good for the institution. I share this because there are so many people who are afraid to voice that they need help. And I know personally how hard it is to not just voice it, but when you voice it, to be told no.
Okay. And when when Harry came on to discuss that, they asked him, well, why didn't you advocate more for your wife with the firm or the family or whomever? And he said, because he was ashamed. He says that he still felt that there was a stigma to declaring that you're mentally unstable or you need, psychological help to deal with the pressures of being a royal. And the system there is to just, collect yourself and carry on. And so this is going to be pressure put on the royal family's PR wing to kind of respond to this.
Do you believe her?
I believe her. I understand that we all have families. We all have dynamics going on, and it can be perceived. I think everyone exaggerates their position a bit. Not that they think they're exaggerating it, but it's probably from their point of view, feeling it seems probably bigger than maybe it would if you looked at all sides, but that the fact that I think the key is the fact that Harry has gone along with this and seems to support her interpretation of things is enough to reassure me that this is more true than not. But obviously,
I think
they're going to have their
other spin. I read some of the stuff before he met her. I don't know if he's the brightest bulb, but he didn't really have much to say about a whole bunch of things. And he is like seriously woke now. The stuff that he's all out there crying and screaming and spitting about. Not screaming, but as he does as an
English. He's very reserved. He's very British.
Yes.
Even now.
I understand. But his new things, his new sort of awareness of his position in the world and the inequities and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm done talking. What else you want to say? Because I got three more cuts. I don't care at all about either one of these people or the royal family. I thought Oprah looked great, and that's all I have to say.
Let me just wrap up. Just a comment. We don't have to play any
more.
You're
going to watch another hour of it.
I'm going to
spend another hour of it watching, but I won't.
I'm going to see the second half. Let me just wrap up. What he said is that he was aware of bigotry and racism as a typical white guy in privileged positions would, which is, he says, I read about it. I never experienced it. Being involved with Meghan Markle gives him, an up close and personal stance toward that. And Oprah did this interesting thing. They compared the tabloid coverage of Kate Middleton, who's married to his older brother, and to Meghan Markle on two particular instances. One is when Kate was pregnant, they had all of these glowing comments about Kate's baby bump and how she was cradling her baby. And then for the Meghan Markle baby bump, they said, oh, Meghan Markle just can't seem to stop from touching her, her baby bump, like she's showing it off or something. Another thing about avocado toast, they talked about how wonderful, how concerned she is about what she's eating. Kate, when it came to the avocado toast, she says apparently she's not concerned about the agricultural devastation that the avocado crop is, and it's just like that kind of coverage belies, a double standard that she's the beneficiary of, Kate Middleton, and Meghan gets the opposite. That's it. So we'll wrap
it
up.
So it sounds like the media has a bias, huh?
Well, the tabloids do. Yes. I mean, tabloid, in this particular case. Yes.
Right. Reminds me of Donald Trump's wife and how beautiful she looks in all of her dresses. But no one does any stories on that. But that when Michelle Obama wears a sleeveless dress, people are just going crazy because her arms look so great. So
if Melania wants to do a 2-hour interview with Oprah, I would watch.
Yeah. They wouldn't ask her. But no, just the difference between Melania Trump and then how Michelle Obama got talked about and, oh, the clothing that she wears is so great. And then Melania basically got ignored. Doesn't matter. It's the press, the UK press and all the tabloids, which most of them are tabloids that run that town. And everybody says you got to get ready because they're just going to tear you apart. Right, Thomas? But they do over there.
That's
continuously.
Right.
Yes.
And sometimes the institution, the firm, the royal family pushes back. And in Meghan's case, according to Meghan and Prince Harry, they didn't push back. They didn't ever correct the record where they did with others. That made them pause.
I see. Maybe they don't like her. Isn't that possible? They don't like her?
I think it's pretty clear they don't.
The family doesn't like her? Yeah, okay. And either they don't like her because of the color of her skin, or they don't like her because they don't like her as a person.
It may be that she's American. It may be that she's a divorcee. It may be all sorts of reasons. She doesn't play along to get along.
Yeah. Okay. Took Harry out of the mix. All right. Enjoy the next hour, Tom.
Why? Oh, yeah, I see. Yes, tonight I will. I'll give you an update tomorrow,
The
John.
Next hour of the Tom and Curly Show.
Tracy
Taylor's going to look at traffic. All right, thank you, Tom.
Welcome.
You know who else is working hard for you? Muckleshoot Casino is. Muckleshoot Casino, the biggest and best in the Northwest. They're always there for you. Oh, here comes Rachel Bell. Oh, hey, Rachel Bell. Sorry, I didn't see you there.
Hey.
Hiya, hiya.
Hiya.
Hey, I almost news.
I almost texted you over the weekend, Rachel, and then you had the news anyway.
Yes, I did. This is a story that concerns Tom because it's one of his neighborhood favorites. So listeners might remember about 3 weeks ago, I talked about Yonder Cider, which is a small business that opened up out of Caitlin Brom's garage in the Greenwood neighborhood of Seattle because she wanted to open a cider shop, but the pandemic kind of dashed her plans. So she ended up opening in her garage. The neighbors loved it. But then one guy complained, and boy, did he keep complaining. So the city ended up shutting her down. Now, just to be clear, before I get into the update of this story, having a garage business isn't exactly legal, but Caitlin had all of the licensing and permits. She called the city and they said, you know what? Go ahead. We'll only shut you down if people complain. So she was always doing the right thing. So 3 weeks ago, because this guy complained, Yonder Bar was forced to close its physical space. They were only selling their cider in other stores. And since then, there is a new bill that has been sponsored by city council person Dan Strauss. He wants to put Caitlin back in business, and he wants to make other existing garage businesses legal.
Bringing business home is a small business flexibility bill that changes a few land use codes. And this is an interim change, so it's only lasting for 1 year. There's already a sunset date in place, and it provides flexibility with the land use code so that entrepreneurs can use their garage to turn their dreams into the businesses that succeed, so that as we emerge out of this pandemic, we're able to fill those vacant storefronts with businesses that are homegrown.
So 5 days ago, Caitlin was notified by the Seattle Department of Construction and Inspection, and she was told that she was allowed to reopen immediately. But if the bill doesn't pass, she'll have to shut down permanently. So this Wednesday, in 2 days, it will go through the Land Use Committee. And then on Monday, it will go through the City Council. And if it passes 30 days later, April 15th, everybody can have a garage business.
Yonder Bar allowed us to start at home without rent and be able to build a groundswell in a community and a following, which then allowed us to sign a lease for our new tap room in Ballard. And so that is the hope for this. This isn't a long-term solution for businesses. It's a one-year period that people can work in their homes. And then the hope is that they build up this business, build up the viability of it, build up that following, and then move into a longer-term space. Why not take advantage of this and get some new businesses incubated so that in 6 months, a year, they can find a big, beautiful space to move into.
So currently you can have a garage business, but you still have to be able to fit a car in the garage, which basically means you can't put any business stuff in it. You can only visit by appointment. You can only have a teeny tiny sign, and you can't look like a business from the outside. So basically you could just like put a desk in your garage and you're fine. But all of these things would be eliminated if the bill passes. And both Councilmember Strauss and Caitlin say, don't worry, this is not going to make a neighborhood a business district overnight. First of all, you know, you still have to go through all the licensing. So it took her 3 months to get her liquor license. You still have to get regulated. If you're selling food, you still have to go through the health department.
If noise, smell, lighting, or glare are creating an issue, those are still aspects of the code that somebody could file a complaint and that business could be shut down. If you're roasting coffee out of your garage, somebody doesn't like the smell of coffee, I wouldn't understand it. That said, if smell is a factor, that can be a problem.
So I was curious, because bureaucracy takes forever. How long does it take to get laws passed or even get the attention of a council person? And here, 3 weeks after Caitlin's bar closes down, suddenly they're putting through a bill. And Councilman Strauss says this is actually an emergency bill that was rushed through because he believes that it can help small businesses because they can use this year as an incubator period. And if this passes, they want to use it as a pilot program. So right now it's put in place for COVID, but he wants this to kind of be an example that maybe in perpetuity, people could have a limited amount of time to try out a business in their garage without having to pay big money for commercial real estate, just to see if it actually works before investing their life savings. And after a year, if they do well, then they can go and rent a real store, a storefront.
One of the wrinkles of their decision to allow for the business to open up until or if there were complaints was that it happens to be on one of these streets that's now blocked off to traffic. Is that part of the bill that it's only referring to, you know, homes that have garages on these kinds of streets? Or is this now open to the entire city? Anybody with a garage who can get the licensing is going to be allowed to do this for the next year.
Anyone with a garage and a dream. So it's not limited to people living on these walking streets. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just was so curious about this because, you know, she's selling alcohol and I'm fine with what she's doing, but it's interesting that they're letting her proceed even though the bill isn't passed, because I just thought that they'd be so strict about alcohol. So somebody had pointed out, I'm just bringing this up for talk show sake, that, you know, good for her. It's great she's being treated this way, but would she have been treated this way if she was a person of color in South Seattle? You know, is this kind of a privileged situation that she's kind of getting an easy go of trying to get this bill passed?
I think she has such neighborhood support. Now, would you have neighborhood support in South Seattle? I would guess so as well. But as somebody who lives in the neighborhood and is doing this, and it is very, as we pointed out before, it's very discreet. When they are not open, it just looks like it's a garage. It's closed. You just walk by it. You'd have no idea. It's a business.
Yeah. So if people want to visit the bar because they are open again, and when I say bar, it's only takeout cans and growlers. You can't sit and have a drink there. Or if you want to sign a letter of support for this city council bill, you can go to mynorthwest.com/Rachel Bell and do all of that stuff.
Hey, Rachel.
Hey, hey. Wait, wait, wait.
What?
We got 2 minutes, guys.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
You want to keep chatting? Want to be friends for 2 more minutes?
Hit it, girl.
Oh, me? Okay. Well, I'll just give my opinion on this. I think that this is a great idea because, like I said, you know, it's so expensive for people to start a business. And I think that this is awesome. I feel like we're going back to kind of the old school method of, you know, letting people try things out in their garage. Mm-hmm. I don't think a ton of people will end up doing it because, you know, you still do have to spend quite a bit of money. But I think that it would be really fun to walk around. And I think it would open up, as far as food is concerned, different cuisines. You know, like there's all kinds of cuisine that isn't represented in restaurants, and maybe niche businesses that aren't represented because people don't have the funds. And so I would be interested to see what kind of little micro businesses would come out of this.
Yeah, and it's also a pedestrian street. It's interesting that it's off Greenwood. Greenwood is the main drag where all the businesses are. I wonder if there are businesses on Greenwood that might have problems with just a block away, a business district that isn't you know, part of the business district. If that's, I wonder if there's any kind of competition. At this point, it's just this one little, you know, pop-up, basically. But I'm wondering if this becomes a popular, you know, sort of breeding ground for new businesses, if that would there'd be any conflict with pre-existing businesses. That's all. But otherwise, yeah, I think it's a great thing for the neighborhood.
I think that's why they limit it to a year, because otherwise you would just be not get having to pay rent where other people have to pay rent. I think that wouldn't be very fair. But, okay, John, now you can cancel me.
Chappelle, thank you. Brought to you by Margaret Chappelle. Tracy Taylor, look at traffic. Bucky's. Bucky's Auto Service Centers with 16 locations and being around for 50 years, Bucky's does what's right for you. They fix your car. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. Tom, I fought against the desire to watch something on my phone. You know, I'm not exactly techie tech. And somebody said, oh, you've got to watch this show called Your Honor. And I was like, oh, really? And this is at this party over at Fletcher Applewood's house. And everybody's, oh, my God, that's the most amazing show. And I thought the other day, I looked on my phone because I was sitting at the airport. I thought I could download it. Mm-hmm. But I fought against it. I fought against it, Tom, because I do not want to be. I don't want to be victimized by my time by some great television show starring Bryan Cranston or something. What's his name from Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
And then in a moment of weakness at the hotel, I downloaded it. I watched it. And I felt guilty, and it's a great show. And I watched, and then I went to watch the next episode. It says, "Sorry, you got to buy the next episode." So I need to know from anybody who's watched it, is it worth it? Do you know it, Tom?
No. In fact,
you heard of it? No?
No. I watched the Emmys. I watched the Critics' Choice Awards last night and the Golden Globes to give out TV awards. Not mentioned. I don't know. Is it a brand new show?
Your Honor. Why am I asking you? You don't have I don't know.
I've not watched it, but it is a relatively new show.
Okay. So maybe it hasn't qualified for awards yet.
I don't know, but somebody said to me, "Oh my God, you're exhausted. It's so tense and intense." And then I watched the first one, and sure enough, I was like, "Oh yeah, yeah." And then I thought, "This is it. This is how they get you. This is the gateway drug into this Amazon Prime thing." And click it. Okay, yeah. I want to watch the next one. And nope, now you got to pay. So
well,
I spent the evening at this unbelievably expensive dinner with these unbelievably rich people. Including the guy, the Dallas Cowboy quarterback. And the lady to the left of me, Tom, is a member of the QAnon or QAnon.
Oh, no.
I was telling in the pre-show meeting that she explained to me that don't get the vaccine because it's all about changing your DNA, because what they eventually want to do, it's all about child trafficking. And then I said, well, how many men are in the market for child brides? It's not just that, it's the fact that they would like to eat them as well. I said, oh, well, this makes more sense then. And then she explained to me that, oh, by the way, Joe Biden died, and Joe Biden's that is a Joe Biden lookalike that's in the White House right now. And the amazing thing was, all of this with a straight face, and then every time I kind of pushed back a little bit, she was insulted. She goes, you know what, why don't you just go live your world how you think it is and just realize that you are living a fantasy, because I'm telling you what's really happening in the world.
Wow. I mean, so do you think
crazy stuff?
Do you think that she is more apt to succumb to these kinds of fantasies because she's so wealthy, she doesn't have to, you know, deal in the day-to-day, the work-a-day life that most of us lead? Or do you think that's irrelevant? Like, there are as many poor people as rich people. And
I would look at those. Look at those knuckleheads that ran into the Capitol. You think any of them had a lot of money? I don't think them parking their Range Rovers out front and then running over and jumping into the Capitol. I think conspiracy theories work for anybody, depending on how much time you have. The weird thing was the sort of the way this person was trying to get other people to come to these discussion groups on a Monday, go to her house and sit around and drink and talk about these things that they have discovered. Oh, at lizard people. I didn't realize that I'd seen people talk about reptilian people, but the reptilian people are there. Jacob, you know about this. You're into this reptilian stuff. That the people like Mark Zuckerberg and I think Jeff Bezos, they're the black-eyed people that apparently run the world. Am I right, Jacob, on that? The reptilian people?
Yeah. I mean, they all get muddled together, right? Like there's the Illuminati, there's the lizard people.
Right.
It's hard to keep track, yeah. But yeah, that's one of them.
Do the lizard people eat babies? I was going to ask you that, but dessert came and it looked great. I didn't want to ruin my dessert. Do the lizard people eat babies?
Again, like I said, I feel like they all get, you know, blended. But
well, I don't want to give the lizard people a bad name.
Right.
They're just from another planet and they're trying to control the world, but they have no desire to eat a baby.
Why does Fletcher Applewood hang out with these kind of people?
No. Separate. Fletcher Applewood, I learned about, the Your Honor. This is the thing that took place out in Salt Lake, Tom.
Oh, I see. Okay. Woo. So Fletcher's off the hook
on
this one.
No.
Can I interest you in another series?
Yes.
Yellowstone. Kevin Costner.
I was in the studio.
Unbelievable.
I was in the studio where they shoot that. I was in the studio on Saturday where they shoot that. Really?
Unreal. So good.
Unreal.
So good. It's right up your alley, John. Right up your alley.
I told Jacob on Saturday, I said, I'm in the studio where they shoot Yellowstone. And he didn't seem to care.
I would have cared a lot. So why do you didn't text me? I'm not quite sure.
Because here's the update. Salt Lake, Utah, stopped giving tax advantages to production companies. So then Montana slipped in and said, okay, you know what? Shoot it here. So they moved the whole thing to Montana. And everybody at Starbucks up the street in Park City is so disappointed because Kevin Costner used to come in there all the time. And he's the nicest guy in the world. All the time.
Oh, Park City, they never get enough celebrities.
Never. Uh-uh. Not at all.
But not nice like that. All right.
It's
name dropping going on.